This is a continuation of the autobiography of my life. And of course, I'm J. Howard Dell. And this autobiography takes up the story in the early, in the late 1929 and early 1930. It was in 1929, in the month of October perhaps, that, or maybe late in November, that I was in a district meeting at Millen, Georgia, with L.S. Martin, George McDaniel, and that on Sunday morning I took deathly sick just before time to go to church, and I don't think I could have lived but for the help of God and the knowledge of and assistance of one Elder Will Sherrod. I had what I think was acute indigestion, and the pain became so severe around my heart and upper chest, left chest, that to breathe was painful, and my breath was shorter and shorter. And Elder Sherrod set me in a chair and stood behind me and lifted my arms up and down and prayed until I got relief. Everybody else had gone to church and left me there at his home. Naturally, he wouldn't go and leave me sick. And I wasn't able to go to church at all that day. At least I didn't. He stayed there with me all day. And God delivered me. Well, I think it was in that same meeting that I decided that I would resign the church at Moultrie Town and take up a new work at Waynesboro, where I had never been, didn't know anybody. And Elder M.B. Blackshear, of course, I resigned the church at Moultrie Town, and he took it over. And I went to this new place in Waynesboro. And I was there for 2 or 3 weeks trying to get a church started, which I did not succeed. And I came home just before Christmas. And, of course, when I got home, they had already started the eviction of the church at Soperton. We had purchased the material for the building of that church, and they would have waited until I came back. But there were those who felt that they didn't have to wait till I come back, so they began. And then, of course, we, by the help of God, I believe it was January of 1930 that we entered into that new church building. It was the first church edifice that I had ever built, and of course I was a very godly proud young man that finally I had built a church. I had no knowledge of church buildings at the time. Church edifices at the time. So all I knew how to do was to fashion it after the one that had been built on Alabama Street in Dublin by Elder H.O. Dawson. And the kind of windows he used were the only kind of windows I knew about, so we put in the kind of windows he had, the kind of doors and the kind of building, which was simply four walls and a roof and a floor, the windows. And of course, we had some boards that we nailed up to use for seats. That was in January of 1930. And perhaps that was the outstanding event of my church life in 1930. I do remember another event in my church life in 1930. There was a minister at Millen who had, by the grace of God, planted a congregation, and a nice congregation for the size of the town. And he sent for me to come and do a revival, and this, of course, was in the month of April, I believe, the latter part of April, and or it might have been in May. Anyway, I went to Berlin and began preaching on Monday night. This minister was very prominent and popular in Berlin, that was an attorney that had attached himself to him and who liked him very much, who attended the services and so on. Well, I began preaching on Monday evening. Each night we would take an offering. I did not know how much, and so finally I preached through Friday night, and the minister hadn't given me anything, hadn't said anything about giving me anything. So I decided that on Saturday I was going to leave. I had planned to stay through Sunday, but I decided to leave Saturday. And when I told him I was going, then he got around among the people. When he found out how much my fare would be to where I was going, he got among the people and gave me my fare, just my fare, from there to where I was going, and that was Gardner's. Gave me my fare from there to Gardner's, and of course I accepted it. The fare that I had paid to get over there was, he didn't say anything about it, another time that I was there. So all I got out of that week's meeting was my fare from Millen to Oconee. I went to Oconee that Sunday and preached at Gardner's there that Sunday, and preached at Gardner's that Sunday night, and maybe a night or so, and they blessed me. And then, praise God, from there I went to Tennell, and Elder John Harris was then worshiping in our house, and I was there with them two or three nights, and from there I went on back home. Nearly all of my life was church-related. Well, during the year 1930, I was asked by the officers of the Zion Hope Church at Dublin to come to that church on a given Sunday. Of course, I was living at Topanon at the time, to come to that church on a given Sunday because some minister was to come who was of another persuasion of faith. He was, they thought, a very convincing minister, and he had established some influence with some of the prominent members of the Zion Hope Church. The pastor was away in a revival and somewhere in Florida, and he couldn't come. The deacons felt that I could take care of the situation, so they asked me to come, which of course I did. As I recall now, I went up on the train on Sunday morning and was with the members of the church all day. It must be that the gentleman learned that there would be a minister in the pulpit that day, that the church would not be left to the mercy of him and his philosophy, so he didn't show. And the officers were very nice to me, and they were very glad that I was available and that I came. And of course, I did not have to take care of the situation that his presence would have created, because he did not come. That situation did not arise. Therefore, there was. However, they were had some impression of my ability and fervency and love for the church and my willingness to protect the church under most any circumstances. And this was, and then one other thing too, in 1930, I got acquainted with an elder, E.D. Lowry, who was then pastoring the church at, I believe, at Ash Street in Macon. He was the superintendent of the Dublin district, and rather the Macon district, and Dublin was on that district. And although I was pastoring the church at Soplin, which was on the Augusta district, but Elder Lowry and I exchanged pulpits, and he had me to come to Macon and preach. And then when he was transferred to the church at Dry Branch, he had me go there and minister. And so we established a very good relationship, for which, of course, I was grateful to God, and which I, of course, needed later on. later in 1930. Well, actually later. I do not recall now whether the district meeting in question was in May or in the fall. I believe it was in May that there was a family of MacDougalls. The mother's name was Nora. She had two daughters. One is named Bertie May, and I don't remember the name of the other. Anyway, in the closing night of that meeting, Bertie May took deathly sick. And what her trouble was, we don't know because we didn't have a doctor. Anyway, she was virtually passing out. There's no question about that. The vital signs were gone. She had no pulse. And her eyes were set. And her breath was short. And finally, she quit breathing. And we knew that. And unless God helped her, she couldn't live. Brother McDaniel and I got on our knees by her chair where they had set her, where they were holding her up. Her head was on the back of the chair with her mouth open. Her breath was gone. We prayed, and we prayed for maybe, well, I don't know how long. But anyway, eventually the Lord touched her, and she raised up, and out came whatever she had eaten. On a suit I had bought. It was a second-hand suit, but it meant much to me then. I think I paid $7 for the suit, and out this came on that suit, but I didn't care about that. I didn't care about that. The Lord blessed her God. He touched her, and she lived. And she lived on and on until she was shot accidentally by a friend of hers. In March of 1931, the workers' meeting convened at Dublin. And of course, until then and for some years after, there was but one jurisdiction in the state of Georgia. And of course, it was not called a jurisdiction then, it was simply called a state. There was at the Zion Hope Church, where the communication convened, a pastor whose morals were questioned to the extent that it became necessary for him to resign that church. And, he didn't resign, actually. The bishop simply had to declare the pulpit vacant, which he did, and at the close of the workers' meeting that night, the committee was in session, and when they made their decision, Bishop Williams called me, and I don't remember just the words he said. Anyway, he assigned me pastor of the Zion Hope Church. I took over the church. And that was in March of 1931. And during that same year, I moved my family from Soperton back to Dublin and moved into the house that I had moved out of when I left Dublin to move to Soperton. And the house was right across the street, directly in front of the church in 1931. I say I moved my family. I did, but not immediately, because my twin sons, Nathan and Nathaniel, were born in Soperton on August the 6th, 1931. So it was late in the fall of 1931 that I moved my family back to Dublin. October it might have been. And it was in 1931 that I went to Orlando, Florida to conduct a revival for an elder, an Elder Malone, it was, Elder Malone. And it was in December, really after the Memphis convocation, that I went to conduct that revival for Elder Malone. I didn't know anything about finances, didn't know anything about raising money, nothing, no kind of program, just to preach. And I was there until nearly Christmas. And there was a family who... Anyway, in Orlando, there was a young man who had four volumes of the Charles Scribner's Bible Dictionary. And he would sell me those four volumes for $12, which was $3 per volume. And I bought those books. Maybe it was $24 that I bought the four volume. Anyway, I bought those books and brought them home, and I caught a ride with the people who were coming from Orlando to Dublin. Of course, I shared the expense with them and got home just before Christmas. They were preparing for the Christmas program when I came home. It was a sort of bare Christmas with us that year, but we lived among the saints at Zion Hope, and some of them were very nice to us. We didn't have any money much, but we had other things we needed and wanted. And of course, it was a very, very nice Christmas for 1931.